So it's entitled, Keep Going, with an exclamation mark. And the first reading, as I've warned you, is long. It's Luke 2, and it's verses 1 to 52. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, King David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul also. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day, and then they began looking for him amongst their relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. We are now somewhere between Christmas Day and the dawn of the year 2026. 26 years ago, we were worried about the millennium bug. Can you think that far back? No one knows what 2026 will bring, how it will develop. And it will most likely bring surprises, challenges, hopefully some happiness, but more than likely there will be sadness and trials involved. And you know what? Sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to wait. Waiting can be hard work. Not knowing if or when the things that we are waiting for will happen this year, next year, or within the next 10 years. Waiting can be tough. Mary had to wait around 9 months after it was announced that she was going to carry the Son of God. She had to wait 9 months, like most ladies do, for Jesus to be born. And while she was waiting, it became apparent by the order of the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus that Joseph, her partner you might say, her betrothed, had to go from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. Because Joseph, her fiancé, the man she was betrothed to, was related to and in some way the offspring of the late King David. I'm guessing that neither of them knew that that was going to happen. You think about it. They didn't know that was going to happen until it did. Until it did happen. And it's worth pointing out that they weren't married at that time, and only Joseph was obliged to go to his birth town. So he presumably decided that it was better to take Mary with him on the back of a donkey, despite the fact that she was heavily pregnant, in preference to an alternative, which was to leave her in Nazareth. Have you thought about that? Either way, if Joseph hadn't done that, and some of the prophecies regarding the birth of Jesus would not have been fulfilled. Either way, the angels knew where baby Jesus was born, didn't they? And where he was lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. But the shepherds didn't know. They didn't know where he was. Not exactly. But they decided to go and find him. It's unusual, isn't it, for shepherds to leave their sheep in the field at night? Have you thought about that? You know, Jesus talked about the parable of the lost sheep, left the 99 to go and find the one that was lost. Well, these appeared to have left all their sheep in order to go and find this little lamb, the Lamb of God. That's clearly how important his birth was to them. The coming of the Messiah was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see and to worship the Anointed One. And what they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Maybe they knew what the prophet Micah had prophesied. Maybe somebody had told them that in Micah 5:2, the prophecy is that, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans or rulers of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Now, just as a point of interest, you may or may not know this, there are two places called Bethlehem in Israel. Did you know that? There's Bethlehem in Judea and there's Bethlehem in Galilee. The shepherds had to know which one to go to, didn't they? Bethlehem Ephrathah in Judea, the one they were told to go to, is about 6 miles south of Jerusalem and therefore around 70 to 90 miles from Nazareth. So there's Joseph with Mary, a very pregnant Mary, was 70 to 90 miles away from where they were told to go and report. The other Bethlehem in Galilee is only about 10 miles northwest of Nazareth. So which one would you choose to go to? The right one or the wrong one? Either way, with a very pregnant wife, neither of those journeys with a donkey would have been good news, would they? But they were committed. Lots of people commit themselves to a journey that might take a really long time. It might be a long way. It might be hard work. I guess when you start a journey like that, you just have to grit your teeth and keep going. And in this case, you'd be going for about 4 days. Men, with your wife, nearly wife, pregnant, about to give birth on a donkey, 4 days. Nowadays, it takes about 2 hours by car to do that journey. 2 hours in an ambulance with your pregnant wife, partner, whatever. And we think that it's bad enough getting to Boston Pilgrim Hospital, don't we? Along the wibbly wobbly road. Another point of interest, which you may or may not know, that Bethlehem means house of bread. Or possibly, depending on how far back you go, house of war. And Ephrathah means fruitful or abundance. Interesting. Why did he have to be born there? Let's go back to that first long reading in Luke 2. Remember, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How would you feel about that then? There's nothing exact about how long this wait was going to be, was there? It'll happen before you die. Just keep on keeping on. You'll see it. But when am I going to die? Just keep on. You'll see it before you die. I would imagine Simeon was glad that he wasn't told by the Holy Spirit, oh, by the way, you're going to die at age 87 or 69 or... Can you imagine what that would be like? Nearly there, nearly there, nearly there. But that kind of waiting could wear you out, couldn't it? Just another year. Just another month. Just another week. Sounds like waiting for the return of Jesus, doesn't it? We just keep on waiting. Hanging on in there. It's like waiting for the rapture of the church. That no one knows the day or the hour. We just have to keep waiting faithfully and patiently, hanging on to the promise that, yes, it will happen. But when Simeon saw baby Jesus, and you tell me how this happened then, when Simeon saw the baby Jesus, he absolutely knew who he was. He knew that he had met the Messiah and that God had kept his promise. And at this point, can you imagine how elated Simeon was? He had been waiting for the revelation, for that revelation, for a long, long time. And now the wait was over. And he could relax and die in peace. And then, of course, there was that lady, wasn't there? Do you remember her name? There was a prophetess called Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. That's a long time. She never left the temple, but she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. How did she know? Just another child, another baby. But they knew, didn't they? They just knew who he was. And some of us, we just know that we have to keep on waiting and praying. Keeping on, keeping on. When sometimes you just don't want to. You want to give up. You want to go to sleep. You want a day off. And sometimes it's a struggle to keep on keeping on, isn't it? Jesus was 12 years old when they found him in the temple, saying that he was about his father's business. What do you mean you're about your father's business? You're Joseph's lad. Kind of. Mary and Joseph hadn't forgotten the messages from God, but they had been waiting a long time already. He was 12 now. What had they seen happen in his life over 12 years? They waited a long time to see evidence that what they had heard and what they'd been told was actually coming true. Hence, Mary ponders things and keeps them in her heart, stored safely, in case of don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't forget what you heard. For years they had held on to promises in their hearts, and they were faithful, patient parents. And we do the same thing, don't we? We just entrust our children to God and try to look after them to the best that we can and know how. But one day Jesus surprised his parents. At the age of 12, he would normally be learning Joseph's trade, wouldn't he? As an apprentice to his dad. But Jesus knew what his calling was, and it wasn't just to be a carpenter or a skilled craftsman. Everyone was waiting, but they weren't sitting on their hands. They had to learn to earn a living, and they had to keep praying, and we need to do the same, don't we? Even in our Christian growth, we can't afford to just sit down and watch telly and expect our faith to grow by doing that. We need to actively wait. Actively wait. While we are waiting, we need to keep going forward. Even the Apostle Paul realized that the only finishing line is when God calls us home. And until then, we have to be about our Father's business and just keep on going forward. But I hear some of you saying, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm worn out. I've been waiting all my life for something that has not yet happened. Or something that we together as parents have been praying for nearly all our lives. We started today's service, didn't we, with this Old Testament scripture. Do you remember from Isaiah 40, 28 to 31? Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Paul says it like this in Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Paul says that, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You cannot mock God. You think you can mock him, perhaps, but you won't get away with it. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that very nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit of God, from the Spirit of God will reap eternal life. Let us therefore not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Did you get that? At the proper time. When's the proper time then? That could involve a lot of waiting and walking in faith. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Just want to read to you from Philippians 3, 10 to 21. Paul again speaking, saying, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or I've already been made perfect, but, and hear this, I press on. I press on. Keep on keeping on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So we are on the threshold between the end of 2025 and 2026. And next Sunday, God willing, we will be together on the 4th of January, the first Sunday in 2026. And nobody's been there yet. Nobody has been there yet, so I can't tell you what to expect. And nobody can. God willing, we will share communion in this place together and continue to actively wait for the Lord's return. And if not, then I pray that you will already be with him forever. But until then, keep going. Hang on in there. Father, we thank you for your encouragement. We thank you the road is sometimes tough and long, and sometimes it seems like you watch from afar off, and we are just sheep wandering around in a field. But Lord, you tell us to encourage one another, especially as we see that day approaching, and watching a world, Lord, as it is today, anything could happen next year, anything at all. So Lord, we stick with you, and help us, Lord, to remain faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.